This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Yesterday we heard from Bandar Kuching MP Dr. Kelvin Yee. We looked at the situation on the ground in Sarawak. YB Kelvin had called for a discussion with all stakeholders, a reconvening of a meeting of the ASEAN Ministerial Committee as well. And that's why we thought we'd look at ASEAN's role in all of this and whether they've been effective as a regional organisation in general, but also looking specifically at regional issues like haze.
So there have been several initiatives under ASEAN to deal with haze. For example, the ASEAN Agreement on Transboundary Haze Pollution came into force in 2013. And 3 years ago, a haze-free roadmap, 2016-2020, was created, which identified some strategies and action plans to manage haze in the region.
So these strategies involved things like sustainable management of agricultural land and forests, strengthening policies, laws and regulations, and also things like exchanging information and technology. But obviously, you know, look around us, we can see that haze is still a problem. And it does raise questions about how effective their strategies are, or even how effective they are as an organization, especially considering that they have a vision. I mean, I laugh at this, but they have a vision for a transboundary haze-free ASEAN by 2020, which is next year.
That isn't even a catchy acronym.
No.
You can't get there to FASEAN. That's the best you can do. I have never heard of that. I'm just thinking, if you have a vision for something, and you know, if you have actually a name for it, the transboundary haze-free ASEAN, it's curious that in some ways the communication just isn't there, like on the ground. And I wonder how much this is a priority among governments as well.
I mean, in the haze-free roadmap that you were mentioning earlier, Kelvin, in theory, it should be a good sort of blueprint to achieve a haze-free ASEAN. They've outlined strategies, they know, they've outlined the timeline that they need to achieve these things, and also like measurable outcomes from it. But I think what is lacking is that they're missing one bit in this roadmap, which is what are the repercussions if nations are slow to achieve these things, or if they just don't bother to achieve these things. And that is just a symptom of what ASEAN is as an institution. They have all these meetings and declarations and whatnot, but there are no repercussions if you don't follow these things.
Yeah, that is a big word for ASEAN, repercussions. So we're going to be talking about this in a bit more detail to try and see what role ASEAN could play, both in this as well as in other matters, in how they can be a bit more effective perhaps. So we're crossing over now to Alizan Mahadi, Senior Fellow with the Technology, Innovation, Environment and Sustainability Program at ISIS. Alizan, thank you so much for joining us. So ASEAN already has an agreement and roadmap in place for dealing with haze pollution in the region. We talked about it. Can you explain to us some of those strategies that have been identified?
Yes, the ASEAN Agreement on Transboundary Haze Pollution was signed in 2002 with the aim to prevent, monitor and mitigate land and forest fires and to control transboundary haze after Indonesia ratified it in 2015. All ASEAN member states are now party to it. And as an action plan, the roadmap on ASEAN cooperation towards transboundary haze pollution control was agreed in 2016, which aims for a transboundary haze-free ASEAN by 2020, which is just next year. Now, while the agreement is legally binding, the strategy is largely to promote cooperation between the state parties and all fields relevant to haze pollution. As a legal document, it lacks actually the mechanisms to be enforced. It adopts more of a managerial approach, if you like, rather than a legal approach. I mean, for example, it promotes equipment assistance, technical cooperation on areas such as sustainable management of peatland, or technical cooperation, for example, where Singapore and Indonesia cooperated in drafting a master plan in Jambi, for example.
How are ASEAN and its member states doing in following these action plans and strategies?
Well, I think if you look out the window, it's obvious how effective it is. But perhaps, to be fair, there has been some progress since the ratifying, especially since the ratification from Indonesia. Because in terms of its implementation, there has been a lot of cooperation and coordination activities within the region. Perhaps the most notable one is in terms of monitoring. Yes, this has improved significantly. We have heard a lot about the ASEAN Specialized Meteorological Center, AMSC, which provides and identifies the hotspots within the region. But perhaps one of the most damning things really is arguably that many countries have actually complied, including Indonesia, to the Act itself, because, for example, Indonesia has enacted and produced many policies that are relevant for the agreement, but it hasn't really addressed the root causes. For example, in terms of local governance, in terms of making sure the private actors are identified, and as well as raising awareness at the local level.
So what are the repercussions on member states who do not comply with these agreements and roadmaps?
So essentially there are no real repercussions, at least there's no mechanisms to enforce any repercussions. As you may know, ASEAN member states, they prefer an ASEAN way of doing things. So this includes things like the principles of non-interference, non-intervention, national sovereignty, and promote settlements of disputes in a non-confrontational manner. Well, this does have some merits in various things, but in the context of the transboundary haze pollution, it does show some of the limitations within this agreement. So it lacks any mention of any legal consequences for non-compliance or breaching the agreement. And this is reflected within the agreement itself, where the emphasis is more on cooperation, coordination, and consultation between member states. So within agreement, any dispute between parties it shall be settled amicably by consultation or negotiation. So the agreement remains a matter of diplomacy, actually. There's no route for legal redress.
So it's been pointed out that on-the-ground issues such as patronage contribute to the prevalence of haze. What efforts have there been on ASEAN's end to deal with these on-the-ground issues?
Well, precisely. This lies at the heart of the challenge. I mean, well, ASEAN has an important role to play at the diplomatic level. The way it is set up, for better or worse, in this context, it does not really help to address the root causes of the challenge, which is really at the local level. While the state, of course, should share some of responsibility in this case, but ultimately it's really up to the private actors that are the culprits in this in terms of haze. So really, this is a local governance issue. And within local governance, as you mentioned, there's issues of patronage, there's issues of enforcement, there's issues of awareness, and so on. So the way the agreement is set, it's really done at a higher level, and it's a bit difficult to address local issues and private actors.
And so you've said that there isn't much that ASEAN can do from a legal standpoint. But with that, I mean, how can ASEAN then strengthen the existing agreement and roadmap to make them more effective?
Perhaps the answer lies in providing more rights in general in cases of air pollution for both individuals and companies dealing with transboundary issues. I mentioned earlier about the 2014 Transboundary Haze Pollution Act, which was enacted in Singapore. And it attaches extraterritorial criminal and civil liability, which means that companies involved in fires outside of Singapore can be liable for haze pollution. So here we are using the domestic courts rather than using ASEAN as a way for ensuring repercussions. But the key thing here is I think ASEAN can help in terms of sharing of information. I think I mentioned earlier, the problem in enforcement of this act is that it is difficult to identify who exactly, which company exactly is liable for certain haze in a certain area. So, for example, the sharing of concession maps within the region can be matched to the monitoring currently done to identify who is responsible for the fire. So sharing of information is one way that ASEAN can strengthen this existing agreement.
Alizan, thank you so much for your insights. That was Alizan Mahdi, Senior Fellow with the Technology, Innovation, Environment and Sustainability Program at ISIS. And we've been talking about an ASEAN solution to this issue of the haze. Up next, we are going to be looking at What Makes a Malaysian. It's an ongoing series that we're doing for this week. So stay tuned. It's the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.